Remember the Oscar-winning documentary Inside Job? It looked into the causes of the Great Wall Street Collapse. And among the things it found, economists don't have to report conflicts of interest. They can receive millions from companies doing consulting, serving on boards, receiving funding for their research, but they don't have to disclose those financial ties, even as they write papers and shape policies that help the companies they are tied to. After the documentary, some economists think the profession needs rules about transparency. That was the hot topic at their annual conference this year. Economist George DiMartino was there, but he's among those who say transparency isn't enough. He is professor of international economics at the University of Denver and author of The Economist's Oath on the Need for and the Content of Professional Economic Ethics. He joins us from the studios of Public Radio KUVO Jazz 89 in Denver, Colorado. Professor DiMartino, you're saying go beyond conflicts of interest?
Well, in fact, I think that this issue of conflict of interest is just the tip of the iceberg. It's an important issue, but it's just one of so many other issues that are pressing in the field of economics. And so, for example, economists have tremendous influence in the world around us. Their actions bear on the life chances of people all across the world, but they don't exert control in the world. So they may intervene to try and solve a social problem. They may do very good economic work, and yet their interventions may be tremendously harmful to those they're trying to help.
Well, give us some examples. You talk about Milton Friedman going to Chile. You talk about economists going to Russia after the fall of communism, going to Indonesia. And you say that in some of these cases, these economists are imposing what is often their ideology, their economic theory, and doing so as almost a social experiment without thinking of the consequences on the people. Give us some example.
Let's take the role of, say, Jeffrey Sachs in Russia. Now, Jeffrey Sachs is an eminent economist. He's widely respected. You know, he's a very, very bright man. He went into Russia, as he had into many other either transition or developing economies, and advocated a rather rapid privatization and what came to be known as shock therapy, which is a rapid top-to-bottom restructuring of the economy. Things did not go well in Russia. And, you know, many years later, Jeffrey Sachs said, well, listen, that's because the policymakers didn't take all of my advice. And so bad things happened. Had they listened to me and implemented the plan in full, we might not have had this disaster. But that's the problem. We have to, as a profession, teach our members that that's always the case. And as a consequence of that, you had better be warning those that to whom you're providing expertise that things can go wrong and that they had better prepare for things going wrong so as to ameliorate the hardships that these interventions may cause.
And it seems that you're saying that American economists need to understand that, well, for instance, in that case, sure, the desire might be to move a communist society to a capitalist society as quickly as you can, but often you have to keep at least parts of the economic model you don't like, because otherwise it'll just move too quickly for the people.
And what you just described was Adam Smith's view.
The invisible hand. The invisible hand, right. And remind us of his thinking.
Adam Smith's view was that, in fact, in many cases, people left on their own would end up provisioning for each other, not necessarily out of love of one's neighbor, but out of self-love, out of self-interest. The problem is, of course, that that's the only passage in all of Adam Smith that most economists have ever read. Adam Smith was a really complicated, complex, nuanced thinker who had many other things to say besides, one of which was this, that when one was engaged as a reformer, one had better pay attention to the established institutions and beliefs and prejudices of the people whom one was serving. One should not think that one had in his head the blueprint for the way the world should be and then just go out into the world and impose it top to bottom. That someone who tried to reform in that way, a utopian, if you will, was headed for disaster. Well, in fact, that's exactly what our profession has done. We've traveled all over the world and tried to impose our utopian models where they were completely inappropriate, certainly in violation of the spirit of Adam Smith's own work. I'd point out one other thing in this context. These kinds of interventions are always experimental, really. We never really know in advance what will be the effect of major reengineering of social institutions. If we understand that economic restructuring is essentially an economic experiment, then it seems that we must get prior informed consent from those in these societies who are going to potentially bear their costs.
How do you do that?
I think that this is a conversation that the economics profession has to have. How do you ethically provide economic expertise in a context in which those who are going to be potentially harmed by your intervention have no meaningful voice in governance. It's stunning to me, but now having done the research, I can assure you that we have never had a serious conversation in economics about that question.
Well, and you advise that this applies to leftist economists as well.
Yes, there's no tradition in the economics profession on the left or on the right of exploring what it means to be an ethical economist. We're all in this boat together. We share this failure.
Do you think economists should ever be held criminally responsible when they push policies to prove to be so disastrously wrong?
I think about this as a failure of the economics profession, not of individual economists. So if an individual economist is doing what he or she believes is in the best interests of the community that they serve, and it goes disastrously wrong, I don't see the basis in a case like that for criminal action against the economist. But I certainly see a basis for ethical indictment of a profession that sends economists out there into the world believing they know far more than they possibly can, and not instructing them in the ethical burdens they face, and then essentially leading them into failure. It's a failure of the profession, not the individual economists who are out there in the world. Most of them, I think, trying to do their best to make the world a more prosperous place.
There's always been a difference of thought. Free marketers who believe that the market needs no regulation and those who think it does. Are you seeing in the economist world the same polarization that we're seeing in Washington? And is that part of the problem? If an economist can't possibly see another point of view because he's held so to his or hers, is that also a problem in the economist world?
The problem in the economics profession is that when the mainstream comes to believe a certain way, every economist essentially gets on board with that mainstream way of thinking. The efficient market hypothesis is a perfect example, which essentially says that markets are always right and they'll never go wrong. This kind of herd mentality led the profession to stop worrying about things it should have been worrying about. So there's this kind of herd mentality, and I would relate that to a broader problem of the absence of pluralism in economics. There's always taken to be one right way to think about the economy, and unless you're thinking about the economy in that way, you're pretty much excluded from the conversation in economics. So there's an ethical obligation on the part of the profession to make sure that dissenting voices are heard. It was the suppression of dissenting views that led to overconfidence in economic theory, which then got us into this economic mess.
That's George DiMartino, professor of international economics at the University of Denver. His latest book is The Economist's Oath on the Need for and the Content of Professional Economic Ethics. George, thanks so much. Professor, I should say. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you very much for having me.